and I'll talk about them very briefly, so I'll have plenty of time to talk about the forest stuff. And the first is, this is rather interesting, that this comes from the University of Sao Paulo in Brazil. They believe that a kind of dark soil called terra preta, which was produced by Amazonian people who slowly burned their waste by smoldering it thousands of years ago, that this dark stuff we might want to refer to as black magic soil. No, not that it's, like, magical or that it's magical in an evil sort of way, like black magic. No. This is more like, actually, I believe the California Aggie, the student newspaper here, awesome, awesome paper, runs daily. Few student papers do that here at UC Davis. I think they had an article within this last week talking about black gold, talking about compost. Well, this isn't compost here they're talking about here. This might be, I don't know, black platinum or something. This is better than black gold. This is this terra preta. They say it can do much more than a box of Miracle-Gro. They said that by smoldering your waste, rather than burning it completely, actually the net effect of it pulls carbon out of the atmosphere, which might be a good idea when you're thinking about mitigating global warming. And it leaves all sorts of the reason why it's black, why it's called dark earth, is because it has all these charred bits of plants. And what's interesting, now they say, let me give you a quote here from Johannes Lehmann, a biogeochemist at Cornell University, says, quote, "The knowledge we can gain from studying the Amazonian dark earths found throughout the Amazon River region not only teaches us how to restore degraded soils, triple crop yields, and support a wide array of crops in regions with agriculturally poor soils, but also can lead to technologies to sequester carbon in the soil and prevent critical changes in world climate." And they contrasted this with they referred to the smoldering method of generating the soil called slash and char, and they contrasted it with slash and burn. And slash and burn releases all that carbon dioxide, all that carbon into the atmosphere, so that's bad. And whereas the slash and char incompletely burns it, and you're left with a whole bunch of charcoal bits in the soil. And and this whole process also cuts down on methane and nitrous oxide emissions from soils. And they said that by adopting a slash and char approach could result in a 12% reduction in carbon emissions by humans. Now, that is an incredible amount of reduction in carbon emissions, 12%. I mean, what is, like, the United States itself, 25% of the total human surplus emissions of carbon dioxide? Whew. Now, 12%, that's almost half of that. That sounds pretty cool. But, that might be a bit problematic introducing this. I mean, you're going to have smelly fields, smoking and smoldering and issues of fire dangers and stuff like that. But, maybe there's some way we can work with this black platinum and add it to our arsenal of black gold and grow some nice, big, fat, nutritious plants. Now, speaking of nutritious plants, I have a really interesting thing here that I'm just going to really go over quickly, but it just tickles me all sorts of different colors here. This is comes from an article in the February 10th issue of the journal Science. They devoted a special section to this topic, And this topic is the volatiles given off by plants. Volatile, now you might think volatile means explosive. No. When you hear somebody talking about something being volatile, it means that it quickly jumps into the air. So, you know, somebody's underarm stench might be volatile. There you go. Or the scent of a rose that is generated by volatiles, compounds that will jump into the air very readily, and rather than stay on their surface or in the liquid that they're in. And, you know, perfumes, those are all volatiles there. Now, granted, some things that are explosive, some, you know, liquids and stuff are also volatile, but volatile doesn't mean explosive. And what's really funny is that volatile has become an adjective in our everyday use of language that means that you are explosive in personality, like quick to anger and stuff like that. It's based off of a misunderstanding of what it means to be volatile. But they're talking about some recent advances in understanding of how plants produce these volatiles. One of the really interesting things, I will put a link of this tonight on my blog because this is really interesting, is that some researchers at the University of Florida, for example, are using tomatoes to research the regulation of plant volatiles and their role in flavor and nutrition, something that I am personally very interested in, not only for cooking purposes, you know, the flavors of spices and all sorts of things. It's all volatiles. But also for career aspirations. Oh, yes. That's one of the things that I'm very interested in a scientific sense. And so one of the things I want to do eventually is come up with some varieties of crops out there that taste way better than anything anybody's ever had. And maybe, how about strawberry-flavored bananas? That would be a fun GMO or GE crop. So I don't know if there are any bananas naturally taste strawberry-like, but hey, you know, if you saw one of those in the store, nice pink banana, tasted like a strawberry banana shake, what do you think? Would you buy one? So let's see. So they said that the process of domestication has had a negative effect on tomato flavor and volatile production. This is something that I've heard many times. The results of plant breeding and domestication have affected the things that make plants taste the way they are. And one of the things that's been pointed to when it comes to why produce tastes so bland in stores, not only, you know,